Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And for me, preaching in English has become a little difficult. I never thought that happened. In fact, I never thought I'd speak Spanish. Never thought I'd speak any other language. But it's exciting to see what God will do with us when we're willing to give it all. And when we surrender ourselves and we'll just say, Lord, take me, here I am, do with me what you will. It's amazing to see what God will do with us. As many of you know, I was pre-med. I was studying at the University of Georgia. I started out here at Truett McConnell, went off to University of Georgia to finish up my pre-med at the University of Georgia before I went off to medical school to be a doctor, and got saved. And Lord made it clear to me that I was not to be a doctor. I quit school. I said, this is not the path that God wants for me. And I just sat it out and said, Lord, show me what you want. I want what you want. And it's exciting to see how what God will do with us when we're yielded and just say, here I am. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 26. And I don't know. I don't remember. Did we stand up this morning? Y'all stand up for the reading of God's word? Let's just stand up for the reading of God's word. I don't know if that's your custom, but you know what? It's our custom down there in Mexico. And, that's just what I'm used to. So, appreciate it if you would just stand with me. I'll read the word of God. Y'all just follow along. Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding in the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they were that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Amen. And they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man, out of whom the devils were departed, besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for this precious story that we find in the Word of God. A man who was literally worthless, the man who was without hope until Jesus found him. Lord, we thank you for this story because it illustrates to us that there is no one without hope. There is no one that is worthless. Father, Lord, I pray that you just open our eyes to what the Word of God has for us. So use me, Lord, as I preach this message and Lord, I pray that You bless this people. I pray, Lord, that You do great things here this evening. Move our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. So, I mentioned to you this morning about why we went to the field. Because sometimes, you know, I am just shocked at the other missionaries that I find that you talk to them and you ask them, what are you doing? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And I'm actually a little upset with missionaries that I find because they say, you ask them, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And what's going on? You know, how has the Lord directed you? Oh, we're going to be missionaries to such and such. We're going to go and, I know one dear brother who is going to, who's a missionary to work on radio stations. And, oh, that's fine. I find other missionaries that are missionaries to go and help them with their educational needs or help them with some other thing. Listen, folks, what folks need more than anything is salvation. What they need is to get saved. And so when folks ask me, what kind of missionary are you? I say, I'm a church planting missionary. Because listen, if you're gonna plant a church, you gotta give God the raw material of the church, which is what? Souls. And so, obviously we're gonna go out, win souls, and we're gonna bring them in, we're gonna baptize them, we're gonna train them up, and let them go out and win others to Christ. And, I'm just shocked. I'm just a little disturbed at what I find in missionaries. They're going off, literally, I believe, in many aspects, and not all missionaries are like this, but I believe there are some missionaries that are going off to the foreign field so they can go on vacation. And for them, it's a permanent vacation. I'm sorry, folks. Nobody comes to our city because it's pretty. Nobody wants to go through what we go through to be there. But let me tell you, when you're there, and when you're part of that, and when you see God's hand blessing, you see God moving in a great way. There's no other place I want to be. I want to be there. I want to be in the midst of that. I want to be among those people. That's what I want. But let me tell you, every one of those people that are in our pews today were people just like this man. You would think, be shocked at the people that we found, that we've presented the gospel to. They get saved, their life changes, and they want to come to church, and they love the Lord. It's amazing what God's done in these people. I'm shocked at the number of murderers I know. Honest murderers who call up to me and they say, "You don't want me in your church. I can't come to your church because I've killed people." That doesn't matter. Come on. You need it. You need it. You need to come to church. You need to get saved. You need forgiveness for that. You can't walk around with that for the rest of your life. You've got to get saved. You've got to get saved. You need to come to church. You need to get what we've got. And so I tell you, these precious, I say they're precious people now, but if you were to find them on the street, you wouldn't like them. If you were to find them on the street before they got saved, you wouldn't like them. You wouldn't want to be around them. Now, it's not just that they stink, but they're scary. They're perhaps a little dangerous. Druggards, drug addicts, and alcoholics, and thieves, and you just wouldn't want to be around this bunch. But the glorious things that God does when He saves somebody. Hallelujah to see these people. I say they're precious people now because I've seen them at the altar weeping, just trying to get a hold of God. Oh, what a precious thing it is. What a precious thing it is to see these people just loving the Lord. You start singing the same songs that we know, it's just in Spanish. You start singing the same songs and they lift up a hand and a tear wells up in their eye and they get excited. Hallelujah! That's what I want! I love that! But let me tell you, those are those type of people that we see here in Luke chapter 8. They're just this type of people! You think, I don't want to be around him, he's scary!
Some naked man running around who could break chains? Thank you, I'd rather not be around him. The Bible talks about how he was running around cutting himself. You don't want to be around that kind of guy. Some naked guy running around, possessed of devils, playing with knives. You don't want to be around that guy. That is not the guy you want for a neighbor. That's what devalues your property. But that's the kind of people God looks for. That's the kind of people. Why do you think that God went there? He had a job to do. He had somebody he had to see. He had to see a very important person. But you know, to just anybody in the community, who was that guy? They ran him out in the woods. They said, we don't want you around here. You're nothing. We don't want you around here. Get out of here. And so he was an outcast. They didn't want him. He was worthless to them. You know, and I think that's the key. I don't believe anybody's worthless. And I'll be honest with you. We work with really poor people. Not because I woke up one day and I said, I just want to work with the poor, the poorest of the world. I just want to work with them. All I knew was, there's a city, there's a place that needs the gospel. I wasn't concerned with whether they had money or not. I wasn't concerned about whether they were rich or poor. I didn't care. I simply went out. But I tell you, in their poverty, you find the most horrible things. Because these people have been poor for generations. It's not just that they're suddenly poor. They've been poor for generations. Their daddy was poor. Their grandpa was poor. Their great-grandpa was poor. It's just never-ending. And all of them lived about 60, and that's it. And by then, to see them, I tell you, you see some of these folks, they're 50 years old, and they look like they're 80. That's the kind of life they live. They get used up real quick. And you work around these people who are just so poor. They have nothing to live for, so they live for the moment. They live for whatever emotion fills them today. And so they can be very emotional. And emotional, by that I mean volatile. And child abuse is epidemic. There are people who, husband and wife abuse, and it goes both ways. It's not just men against women. It goes both ways. It's just epidemic. It's just, they live for such emotion. Today I will get my fill, and if you stand in the way of that, I will stomp you down. And it breaks my heart to see these people in such a situation. Because by the grace of God, my wife and I have a wonderful relationship. We have a sweet relationship. I get up in the morning, I'm glad that she's beside me. I love my wife, I love my family. There's nothing that gives me greater joy, and to think that these people get up in the morning and they get up with the intention, I gotta find somebody to kick. I don't get that, and they're missing out on something. How is it that I am so fortunate? Well, it's the grace of God that saved me. But you see these people who consider themselves to be worthless, society considers them to be worthless. I think of this girl in our church. We have, I love our church. I'm going to brag on our church a little bit while I'm preaching, okay? Y'all just don't mind me. I hope your pastor brags on y'all. Y'all giving them something to brag on, right? Okay. Well, we run buses. And I tell you, buses are so, it's beautiful to see these old ragged buses coming in, just chock full of people. especially chock full of kids. We will, some of these kids, their parents don't come. They just, their parents don't even get out of bed in the morning. They just, get out of here. Give me some peace for a little while. Get on that bus. And they get on the bus with us. Amen. We'll teach them. We'll take them. We'll love them. And, you know, one thing, I don't know where these kids picked it up, but I'm there at the church and these buses are coming in. But some of these kids, they get off that bus, you know what they do? They come running to me and give me a hug. Where'd they pick that up at? I don't know, my kids were around hugging me, where'd they pick this up? But I realized, somewhere along the line, I realized, maybe I and the people that work with them at the church are really the only people in the world, only adults that give them any attention, give them any love. Because when they get home, it's nothing but arguments, it's nothing but conflict. And they know when they get to church, there's somebody that loves me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's this little girl, Jessica. And she started coming to our church when she was, what, 8? 7? Help me out here. But she's been, over the years, we've just watched her grow up. She got saved. She loves the Lord. She loves the church. She loves her class. She loves her teacher. Leah's her teacher. Well, at least one of her teachers anyway. But she loves church. And it's always exciting to see these kids. They get off the bus and boy, their faces are beaming. Huh? They love church. I know some of y'all, when you get the kids up in the morning, they're not real excited about getting to church. They're excited to getting home and getting back to bed. But these kids, they're excited about church. And they get off the bus and they got their faces just all lit up. I love it. I love it. But one day Jessica got off the bus and she didn't have that usual, smile. And she looked really disturbed. And I thought, something's going on in her life. Something happened. And as soon as she got off the bus, she gave me a note. One of the bus drivers said, Jessica's got a note for you, something like that. Anyway, I got this note from Jessica's dad. And I had met him, tried to win him the Lord. I have never met folks as stubborn as her mom and dad. Anyway, her dad had written me a note saying, this girl, I do not value this girl anymore. I do not want this girl anymore. This girl is a burden to me. I give her to you. This is a note to me from her dad. I saw that note and said, this is a problem. Now listen, I love that girl. I'd be glad to add her to the collection. But that's just not the way it works. Yeah, I mean, you just can't do that. So after church, I went and talked to her dad and kind of got things straightened out, and you know, he cried and it was a touching moment and whatnot, but for her dad, who's not saved, he viewed that child disposable. She does not suit me anymore. I do not want her. Pitch her out. And it breaks your heart. Because I'll be honest with you, now that we're not there, I know. I'm not there. I wish I were there to look after Jessica and all those other kids. And follow all the folks of the church. But, you know, I know there are people there that are doing the job, that are continuing on. Why? Because they've been trained. Hallelujah. And it means something to them. It's not just they don't do just because it's a job or anything. No, they know where they were at. But these people are not disposable. These people are precious. And they need somebody to tell them how to be saved. Because it really comes down to that. They are unable. Just like this fella. Just like this demonic man that we see here in Luke chapter 8. He was unable to save himself. I think of Ephesians chapter 2. Where it talks about us very directly. And verse 1 says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I think that's the key to a missionary heart, a heart that is concerned about other people. We got to recognize, you know, we see this guy, and he doesn't smell good, he doesn't look good, we don't really want to be around him, but we got to recognize, I'm not far from him. And I used to be pretty much exactly like him. Maybe I could bathe a little better than him, but really, we weren't much different. And we've got to recognize that. We've got to realize, I'm just not that far from him. And by the grace of God, somebody told me how to be saved. Praise God, somebody! And I don't care. Listen. It was a bunch of liberal Southern Baptists who told me how to be saved. But praise God, they told me that. They didn't tell me much else, but they told me that. Praise God. Praise God. And I think of these things. We've got to recognize that we are not far from these people. You know, if we get too filled up on ourselves, if we get too puffed up on ourselves, we're going to lose. I think that's one of the areas where Calvinism breaks down. They get a little. This is not my notes. I'm just gonna talk to y'all a minute. Where Calvinism breaks down is because they start thinking, I have been elected, I have been chosen, I am one of the chosen few. Well, don't you just sound like a Jehovah's Witness right now? Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Praise God, I'm saved. But you know. It was the grace of God that saved me, and I'd be just like that lost fella. I'd be just like that fella if it wasn't for somebody telling me how to be saved. And so, you have to have that precious moment that changes them forever. There's got to be that moment. Like Luke chapter 19 tells us, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was just lost." He saw somebody who was worthless and said, "I'm gonna talk to him." You know, I mentioned Israel this morning. He's a good fellow. He was literally a drunkard. And now we go soul winning a lot at our church. We get excited about winning people to Christ. We go soul winning a lot. Tuesdays we go soul winning. We go soul winning on Saturday and Sunday as well. We go soul winning a lot because we realize what it does. I went soul winning with Israel one time. And We're going through this complex. It looked like an apartment complex. Is really what it looks like. They call them houses. They're houses, but it looks like an apartment complex. Just rows of houses. And we're knocking on doors, talking to people. Come across this fella kind of cowered up in an alley. And I knew what was up. I knew what he was doing. He was off doing drugs. I kind of nudged him, so let's keep on moving. Let's just let this guy be. You know, I mean, we can talk to him about the gospel, but he ain't going to remember it. You know, I mean, he's doped out of his head. He's not going to remember anything. So, you know, we'll just keep on and talk to some other folks. Israel, the former drunkard, saw this fella in the corner doing drugs and said, "Except for the grace of God, that's me." He got over. He got his Bible. He carries a big old Bible. He got over. He got down on his knees. like this, and he opens his Bible and starts talking to that fella. And he starts weeping as he's presenting the gospel. And he got to the end, and he says, "Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you like to pray and receive Him right now?" Israel says, and the fellow says, "Yes." And they prayed. We all shouted hallelujahs and were excited. As we walked away, I thought to myself, that was nice. That was good. That fellow ain't gonna remember it. About a month later, this fellow comes to church. Now remember, we get a lot of visitors. And we get a lot, and we talk to a lot of people. This guy comes up to me and he shakes my hand and he says, "Pastor, you remember me?" I thought, "No, not really. Where do we meet? The supermarket? Where do we, you know, cause I'm always giving out tracts. I'm always here or there. You know, where do I meet this guy? I don't know." You know, he's dressed nice. He looks good. I figure, well, I had to meet him out doing something. He looks like a businessman or something. I had to find him out doing something. He says, "You remember that time you and that other fella came by and I was in the corner doing drugs? That was you? What happened to him? He got cleaned up. I didn't recognize him. He found a comb. I didn't recognize the fella. But something happened to him. He got saved is what happened. He really got saved. Glory to God, he got saved." But see, that's what happens when we recognize that nobody is worthless. And they get that moment that changes them forever. And you know, I remember what happened to me when I got saved. I remember... God works in great ways. I just praise the Lord for God. I was studying by myself a biology textbook. I was an atheist, mind you. Here at Truett McConnell. In fact, I just finished. I was in the middle of transferring to University of Georgia. Studying a biology textbook. I guess when I got saved. "Oh, you didn't have your Bible out?" "No, I had a biology textbook. I'm reading a biology textbook." And I just started thinking about the things that I had seen and the way that God had worked and the people that God had put around me. And I thought, those people are weird. Those Christians are a little weird. They're a little different. But I thought, they're just a little odd. What is it that makes them so different? And I thought, you know, they all come from different places. You know, they're from different hometowns. They're from different places. How come they're all just the same? How come they're just the same kind of weird? What is it? And I started thinking about, well, you know, what the God is not a bad thing. You know, I mean, if I was an employer, I'd want to hire these kind of people. You know, they're not going to steal from you. You know, they're not going to lie to you. You know, they're going to be pretty decent, you know. What is it? What's the secret sauce? Maybe I could put that in a bottle and I could sell it or something. What is that? That's the more I thought about it, the more I couldn't explain it. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, well, the only thing that there is, they all say they're saved. They all say they're Christians. They all say they're going to heaven one day. Well, maybe there's something about that. No. But the more, I couldn't get away from it. There was no other explanation. Maybe there is a God. I started thinking about that for a second, but it didn't last long because I said, maybe there's a God. Ooh. If there's God, I've really been wrong. Ooh. There's God, and I've really been wrong. And he snowballed from there. I'm by myself. Nobody is telling me, "Oh, you gotta get saved." No, nobody's telling me that. The Holy Spirit is working though. And the Holy Spirit is calling to memory the things that those Christians had told me. I didn't need a track. I knew what that needed to do. I bowed down. I'm crying. An atheist. Crying. Asking the Lord to save me. It was a moment that sparked in my life, a moment that changed me forever. And I remember the next day I couldn't explain to my friends what had happened. I promised a friend of mine I was going to go to church with him. Yeah, they were all trying to get me to go to church, you know. They were always trying to get me to go to church, and they're always trying to, you know how it is. I promised to go to church. Well, I'll go to church. Well, let's, I figure, yeah, as an atheist, I promised that figure, and it couldn't hurt me. I mean, it's just church, you know. If there's not really God, I mean, it's not going to rub off on me if there's no God, you know. But I went to church with that fella. Now, remember, I had gotten saved the night before. I go to church. And I hear the preacher preach, and really I can't tell you what it was. It was not what got me. What got me was at the end of the service, just like y'all had this morning, a family came forward to join the church. And the pastor said, "This is the Smith family. This is Bobby and Susie and, you know, mom and dad, and, you know, they all come to us by letter. They've all been saved. They're baptized. They come to us by letter." Oh, that got me right there. I went, ooh, they're all saved. They're all going to heaven. What a precious thing. And it was precious to see a family that were all saved, knowing they were going to heaven. And tears are welling up in my eyes. Now, my friend sitting beside me thinks I'm still an atheist. I didn't know how to explain it to him. And I got tears welling up in my eyes. I fall to my throat. Of course, later I figured out how to explain what had happened to me, but I knew that very morning, I knew I was different, I knew that God had changed me, I knew that God had done something to me, I knew there was a spirit living in me, I knew there was something different. There was a moment that changed my life forever. I realized there's something larger than myself. I want to brag on our church a little bit. I want to tell you about a fellow in our church, Seferino. Seferino, one of our men invited him to church. Well, he came. He came to church. He heard the gospel preached. He got saved. He got baptized, and his life changed. I mean, it changed him completely. Oh, I mean, he got rid of all the things in his life that he was supposed to get rid of, and he was trying to get his life straightened out. He'd been living with a girl, they had a kid, and he was trying to get together, you know, maybe we need to get married, we need to get this situation straightened out, and they were separated, but he was trying to get things straightened out with her and whatnot. Later he brought her to church, and she got saved. Pam led her to the Lord. Amen. And she got saved. And to see both of them changed, wanting to do right. Well, it was just shortly after that. Well, Steph had a little condition. He had a little problem, medical condition. He had these seizures. And they were real, real strong. And they hit him real bad. And you know, our fellows are real good. If they saw him in the pew and he starts rustling or something, our fellows would get up beside him and they'd hold on to him real tight. And, you know, you can't stop it, but you know, they're gonna keep him from falling down. They're gonna keep him from getting hurt and whatnot. And, you know, I'd be preaching and he'd be back there just shouting. And just, cause that's what was happening. But our fellows were real good to hold on to him and take care of him and just, you know, just tend to him. But our one day we were going to go soul winning. And he came to soul winning. He's there. We're just getting ready to load up. We're just kind of just handing out tracks, getting ready to go. And he has a seizure right then. And it was a big bad one. And he's on the ground. He's yelling, and it's just a really ugly thing. I mean, you feel bad for the fella. And it always wiped him out after he had one. And sometimes he'd just sleep, take a nap or whatever, and he'd just sleep. But this hit him. Afterwards, he got kind of picked himself back up, and you know, you could tell he's out of it. You know, I said, "You just stay here, you rest, and you can You just stay here, you rest, you pray for us while we're out there soul winning. He says, no, I want to go soul winning. Well, he did go. He went, wound up winning a young lady to the Lord. And it was just shortly thereafter, our men went by his house and found him dead in his house. Young fella, what, 29, 30? I say young fella, but dead. What had happened there? Well, I can't explain his death, but I can explain his life. I can explain what happened to him. God changed him. And he was a new creature. And yeah, right now he's already beat us to heaven. Of course, his funeral was a sweet, sweet time. Many of his family got saved. I had a chance to talk to his son, about 10 years old. I sat down with him and showed him how to be saved. And his dad had showed him how to be saved. And he just needed to go over it a little bit before he really got a good comprehension of it. But there at his funeral, we won so many to the Lord. We just had a precious, precious time, singing, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord for the time that He'd given us with Seferino. But our people, precious people, went out and dug his grave by hand. They went out and found a place to bury him, dug the site, and put him in it. What had happened? God moved. God did something. God saw some value in somebody who was worthless. Amen. Amen. Thank God, God saw something in me. And it's not because I'm special. It's not because I'm white. It's not because I'm privileged. It's not because of anything like that. It's because of the grace of God. Amen. That God gives to all of us. And if He gives it to all of us, how tragic it is that not everybody gets to hear it. How tragic it is, and as I told you this morning, my heart was broken because every Sunday I heard the gospel message. I heard the Bible preached. And how many around the world do not ever, ever, ever hear? I had to go. I had to go to the field. I had to go. But God blessed. And God blessed that sacrifice. What's it going to take to win the next one? What's it going to take to win the next Seferino? What's it going to take to win the next Jessica? What's it going to take to win the next Israel? It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice from each one of us. I know, I understand you folks just finished up a missions conference just recently. Listen. Y'all, I know that y'all have a great heart for missions. As you look at what's going on in your life, as you look at your finances, let's talk about finances just for a minute. As you look at your finances and you start looking at things in your life, think about the precious gift that you've been given in salvation. How privileged we are! What is that worth to you? What is that worth to you? Certainly I can make a little sacrifice. Certainly I can give I'm shocked at what the dear people in our church will give. When I know Americans who have a cable TV bill that is more monthly than what they give to missions. I mean, something's wrong there. Something's wrong with that. What we give is directly related to souls. I want you to see that, especially as you support church planting missionaries. Listen, if I have a little bit of money, we'll be all right. We'll get by. If we have more money, we left undersupported for the field. And in the 9 years we've been gone, that's reduced. Just because churches stop and we had a church that closed. We had a church that turned Calvinistic and said we don't support missionaries anymore. Wait, things happen. But things happen and our support reduced. But you know what? We're doing with less. If we had more money, it would mean more tracts. It would mean more Bibles we're able to distribute. It would mean more, perhaps renting a bigger bus to haul in more people. Because let me tell you, I got places where I know people that have said, "Come pass your bus for me. I'll go to church." And we already run a route over here and a route over here. We just can't run a route over here too. There's just not enough time in the day. We need another bus. And things like that. If we were able to do more, we'd be able to do more. It's directly proportional to souls. If you give a lot more souls will be saved. If you give a little, less souls will be saved. So what's it going to take? It's going to take sacrifice out of us. Financial sacrifice, for one. But sacrifice in the sense to where, what are you willing to give? What are you willing to sacrifice? Let's put money aside. Let's not talk about money for a minute. What are you willing to sacrifice in your time, in your prayers? Are you willing to lift your missionaries up in prayer? Are you willing to help them out? Are you willing to put a hedge of protection around them in prayer? What's it going to take? It's going to take sacrifice, but it's also going to take people who walk with the Lord. I'll be honest with you, I've been gone for 9 years. Kind of figured everything would be fine while we're gone. You know? Come back and things are a little different. It's not quite what I was expecting when I came back. You know? Sometimes my mind has a hard time, I just have a hard time getting a hold of some things in my mind. It's awkward for me to preach on carpet. We have dirt floor, so, you know. I'm excited about stuff like that. That's wow. But at the same time, I have a hard time putting my mind around the things of the churches today and their mind. They're not concerned about walking with the Lord. Now, I'm not going to criticize some other church. I just want to talk to Christians in general. Are you walking with the Lord? When you get up in the morning, are you talking to Him? When you get up in the morning, is His Word the first thing you see? What priority? Do you watch 4 hours of television a day, but spend 10 minutes in His Word? I mean, there's a little unbalance there. I just think about that, because it's going to take folks to walk with Him and talk to Him and know Him. Well, I'm saved. I know Him. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's good. But do you really have that good, strong relationship? There's a lot of folks I know, but don't really have a good, strong relationship with. There's a lot of folks I don't know well enough to go up and say, would you give me, you know, I'm in a hard time right now. Would you lend me $4,000? I know this fella. But I don't think he's going to give me money like that. We need to know the Lord on such a close and intimate relationship that when we say, "Lord, I need something," or "Lord, this is going on in the life of a missionary. This is going on in the life of our pastor. Lord, will you help him?" And God will answer. It's going to take folks to walk with the Lord. So this evening, as I close, What's it going to take? Do those people, are those people important to you? Do they appear to be valuable to you? Or are they just worthless? People in general. Not necessarily the people in the mission field. Just in general, are the people worth it to you? Let's take a moment and let's bow our heads and close our eyes.